Hello and welcome to Dishing Up. I'm Millie.
And I'm Mariam. We're part of Larder, a magazine where we believe who you are is what you eat.
In this series, we're going to take you on a food tour around the world.
In each episode, we'll be choosing a new country to focus on and speaking to renowned chefs from that country about their earliest memories of cooking and what makes their food so delicious.
Come with us on this journey to learn about traditional food from all corners of the globe. We'll be going to places like the Gambia, Azerbaijan, Mexico, and Malta. Leave behind everything you know about food. We're headed off the beaten track.
So grab a knife and a fork, because this is Dishing Up.
On today's episode, we're headed to the Gambia in West Africa. It's often called the Smiling Coast because when you look at it on the map, its long, thin shape cuts through the continent and curves like a smile. The country's name comes from the Gambia River, which runs through it. Vibrant flavours are at the heart of the Gambian cuisine. The hot climate provides the perfect conditions for growing groundnuts, yams and taro, which are central ingredients in Gambian cooking. Dishes are richly seasoned with things like thyme, turmeric, basil and bitter leaf. Communal dining is also a big part of Gambian culture. Meals are eaten from a shared plate and family members will sit around it and eat together. The food in the Gambia is influenced by the many ethnic groups in the country, each with their own language and traditions. The Malinke people make up over a third of the population, but the Fulani, the Wolof and the Diola are other large groups. The culture has also been influenced by trade with Muslim Arabs in the 9th and 10th century and colonisation by the British in the 18th century. In 1965, the Gambia became independent, and apart from a brief period when the country united with neighbouring Senegal, it has been a republic ever since. The Gambia has been a crossroads of many cultures for centuries. Come with us as we dive into its cuisine.
In the studio with us today, we have Lawrence Gomez, an incredible chef who was born in the Gambia and raised in London. Lawrence was inspired to become a chef by watching his mother cook.
He is a passionate and ambitious chef working to put West African food on the map in the UK. He started out as a kitchen hand at the Ivy Restaurant in London, where he spent 10 years training and working his way up to head chef at the private dining room. He then worked at Sexy Fish for 18 months.
During his time at these top London restaurants, Lawrence developed his own marinades and experimented with using them on different foods.
His passion for his own recipes grew as he did more cooking for family and friends. Eventually, he decided to follow his dreams and launch Papa El's Kitchen in London in 2017. The restaurant specialises in African fusion cuisine inspired by his heritage.
Lawrence, welcome to Dishing Up. We're so excited to have you here with us today. How are you?
Very well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, we're going to get stuck right in. Do you mind telling us about your earliest memories of food?
My earliest memory of food has to be in my house. We were well known for being a house of events in terms of parties and stuff like that. So we used to have a lot of social gatherings. I love the whole social dining experience of how food brought people together.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it a majority of the women cooking in your household? So how did you jump in?
I was just fascinated. Yeah. The way they turn, nothing into something, and I saw the passion and the love that they put behind the food and the way it reflected on the next day when people were actually eating the food and everyone was happy and excited. And it turned from one thing, from eating food to the music, the whole social experience. So I was just happy with that.
So food is a lot about the social experience for you and socializing with your family and friends.
Yeah, definitely in Gambia. I can only speak from being raised in the Gambian that food is the main social get-go, so to speak.
Yeah. And who was it that first taught you to cook? Was it your mum and your aunts?
In my household, because I've got a lot of brothers, I've got a big family, we were always allocated to, where my mum will make the sauce for the whole week because of work, and then every single day we'll take it in turns to make rice. So I grew up on rice, so that's how we were taught, and kind of self-taught. And then just in a Gambian household, you would have to watch before you actually take part, so observation was key.
Why did you become a chef?
I became a chef because I think watching TV programs on, at the time, you had people like Ainsley Harriott on Ready, Steady, Cook.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just saw the fun element. There was no TV programs in terms of actual restaurant shows where you see the chef or anything like that. But I was just fascinated by how food, you know, how you can, you know, just take an onion and make a dish out of that, for example. So I was always fascinated by that. So watching TV and mixing with the whole culture and just, you know, the whole social experience, I just was fascinated by food.
Are you yourself, are you like a big host? Have you like taken that from your family as well?
Definitely. I like to host, and, you know, wherever I'm hosting, I make sure I give them the full whack in terms of everything that, you know, I like to prepare the food. I like to make my own drinks. I like hospitality.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that I've always loved.
Yeah. And I guess in the intro, we spoke a bit about African fusion food. What do you mean by that?
The term African fusion cuisine is basically my culture, which is Gambian, and my career on the plate. So what I don't want people to get lost when they come taste my food is not to forget that I'm a chef also.
Yeah.
So I don't want people just to think, oh, it's just African food or Gambian food or anything like that. I like to mix up the two, and the culture, it's all the flavors, the ingredients that I use, some of the dishes in terms of wording, where the dishes actually come from. And then my career is where I've worked in, because I don't want to lose that in terms of my journey. So basically, you know, I started from down at the bottom at the Ivy, you know, worked my way up. By the time I left, I was the head chef of the private dining room. So I don't want to forget those elements. So I merged the two.
Was the Ivy your first job?
Yeah, that was actually my first job
as a chef. That's amazing.
So I started off as a kitchen hand and then worked up to being a kitchen chef for the waiters and the chefs.
Oh, wow.
So I used to cook two meals a day for the waiters and the chef, like big meals. So like looking around 40 people, two meals. And that kind of gave me more confidence into creating my own dishes. From there, I just worked my way around the kitchen.
What were the sort of tasks that you were doing in the kitchen when you first started?
I was just helping everyone out, you know, basically picking herbs, tedious jobs, you know, splitting beans.
Oh, wow.
Portioning this, weighing that, you know, just there was nothing difficult in terms of the job. But, you know, those type of jobs shows whether you love the job or it's a job, if that makes sense, you know. And for me, I knew what I wanted to get to, so I just put my head down and just said, you know what, I'll pick a kilo of parsley if you ask me to, you know. So it didn't matter to me.
I guess having that positive mindset really probably helped. I mean, if I had to stand in the kitchen and pick parsley, I think I would have been out the first day. I have to sit and watch my mum and she's like, cut ginger for me. I'm like, no, it's too tedious, can't do it.
Yep.
What characterises the food in Gambia?
Flavour.
Yeah.
It's the most important. For me, like, one of the most important things that I have is I've got a good palate. And in Gambia, you know, if I'm not giving you a plate of food and you're not smelling the aromas before you eat it or something like that, you know, then I'm not doing my job right, you know. So most dishes that I have, as soon as it hits the table, you're smelling something.
And what are those, like, key ingredients that you use in Gambian food?
We like to use a lot of spice. You know, we're by the coast, so we use a lot of fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fish is my favourite dish to cook in terms of when I write a new menu. I'm always inspired by fish dishes more than anything else, because to get the balance right of what goes well with different fishes, it's very complicated and difficult, whereas the meat actually sells itself.
Mm. What's your favourite Gambian food?
We grew up on our local, and the most popular dish is called Benichin.
Oh, okay.
So Benichin means one pot. It's a rice dish. I currently have it on the menu at the moment. It's always on the menu as a signature dish. But I do like a vegan version, because in our traditionally, we serve it with like braised lamb shoulder.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like, that's the beautiful thing about food. Like, there's so many different versions of the same dish. But, you know, across the whole world, everyone has their own way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, you know, if I had a comparison in terms of what Benichin is, you know, if you go to, you know, Asia, India, like, you'll say it's like a biryani.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, everything's cooked in that one pot. You know, the Spanish will say paella, mm-hmm. and so on and so on. So That's what I love about food, you know. No one kind of owns something.
Yeah.
You know, everyone adapts and changes it to the way that it suits, you know, their culture best.
And is, I'm sorry if I'm butchering, but Benichin?
Yeah, so Benichin.
Is it like spicy? Is it sweet? What's the sort
yeah,
of
flavors? It's got, it's a base of like Scotch bonnet.
Oh, okay.
Peppers, onions, garlic, and fresh tomatoes. That's the most important thing, fresh tomatoes. So, you know, it's a dish that I'm trying to get out there publicly because it's one of the most important dishes, you know, and it goes with anything. You don't get much rice dishes that are like vegan, mm-hmm. but you can put it across anything and it will work, or yeah. you can eat it by itself. I call it Ma's Benichin rice because in Gambia we call our mums Ma.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was my mum that taught me how to make this particular dish. So on the menu, it's called Ma's Benichin rice.
That's really sweet. I'm wondering, are there any dishes that you've taken from your mum and you've gone, oh no, this isn't, I'm going to add something else to it. I need something.
I would say like, you know, some Gambians might say, oh, you know, this ain't like the Benichin, do you know what I mean? Because as a chef, you know, you're always going to do something
yeah,
slightly different, you know. And then, for example, I've got another dish called the chicken yessa.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, it's Gambian and Senegalese.
Oh, okay.
And the dish is, it's like a stew-based chicken with onions, lemon, you know, garlic and stuff like that. But I kind of refine it as a chef, you know, so you have the lemon in the muslin, the cloth, so when you squeeze it, you don't get none of the seeds coming out. And then the way I marinate the chicken. So you got a breakdown of all the different ingredients, but it's the same dish. So, you know, if you see a lemon, a lime on the side, just make sure you squeeze it and you'll get the X factor.
Just sort of yeah. adding a bit of finesse yeah, to your mum's dishes.
So stuff like the chicken yassa will definitely, it's a refinement of the actual traditional dish.
Perfect. And what's a dish from the Gambia you wish more people knew that isn't Benichin?
I would say there's a dish called super kanja.
Oh, okay.
So kanja is called, you will know it as okra.
Yeah.
So this is like a okra stew base. You know, it's made with meat, lamb, diced lamb shoulder mainly, but you cook it in like palm oil stock, and then you have like fish, like dry fish.
Oh, okay.
You know, to enhance the flavor and stuff like that. And it's like a very greasy, not greasy, but you know how palm oil's like. It's a bit
hearty.
Yeah, very. So that dish, I would definitely like people to know about it. I haven't put that on the menu as of yet. I've done versions of kanja okra. Like, we have a tempura okra, and that goes through, when I say my culture and career, African fusion, that goes to the time when I worked in Sexy Fish. Like, you know, we were tempura and everything, apart from kanja okra. So I decided, you know what, let me do something different. I make my own homemade chili salt.
Oh.
And then we have the lemon on the side.
Oh, I'm curious, okra, whenever I have it, as in like a curry, it's quite bitter.
I personally love it.
Oh, I think I've grown up to like yeah. it. Obviously, when I was a child, I tried to stay away from it. It was scary. Mm-hmm. It was scary food. I didn't like it at all. I think growing up, I've come to appreciate it a bit more. But it's still quite very strong flavor.
Yeah, it's a strong flavor, and it's always like the texture is very gooey and stuff
yes,
like that.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it's an interesting thing because you know the Asians and the Africans have this whole big debate where actually okra comes from.
Yeah.
You know, because you can see it in both different continents and in South America as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, but I personally, like, when people try the tempura okra, you kind of get rid of that gooiness because mm-hmm. the way it's fried.
Yeah.
You know, and you forget about it. And once you have the lemon and the chili on it, then the texture just comes through, like, really clear.
That's amazing. So tell us a bit more about Papa El. Like, what's the ethos? What's it all about?
Papa El's is like, you know, it's me, you know, in terms of like, you know, the name Papa. Again, we call our dad Papa, me being the father of two. Like when my kids were younger, they used to call me Papa. Not That's anymore, you know, not even Daddy, just Dad. So, Yeah, so that's the name, you know, Papa Lawrence, and I write all the menus myself. I'm the only funder myself. I funded this whole business myself. So
wow.
It's just a one-man band, you know, in terms of, like, doing everything. And what I'm trying to do is just, like, put African fusion cuisine and food from the diaspora of Africa, whether it be the Caribbean or South America, on the map and make it normal. I want to get people, you know, want to go to different countries in Africa because of the food. And I'm trying to expose it in a way where, for example, people won't know that tomatoes are like the second most popular fruit and veg in Gambia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they will associate that with any Mediterranean country and so on and so on. So I'm trying to get rid of that, you know, enigma of, oh, what is African food? It's food.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, but don't be so scared. Anyone that walks in through the room, through the restaurant, sorry, I just want them to be themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked in restaurants where you have to be so formal and you're trying to fit in with what's going on around you. I prefer it the other way. You know, we're going to fit in and adapt to who you are as a person. You know, the last thing I'll say for it about Papa L's, you know, good food never makes anyone sad.
That's incredible. That is incredible. And that's so real. You know, if I think also if a chef enjoys cooking, you're going to enjoy the meal a bit more.
Yeah.
You don't want to see you don't want to hear chefs shouting in the back.
Nah.
You're going to be like, what am I eating?
Exactly.
And what's one ingredient you couldn't live without?
You know what? One underestimated ingredient, I just love scotch bonnet.
Oh,
you know? Chili. I'm not someone that eats chili. I don't like food hot. So with all the sauces and marinades that I make, you know, you get the flavour then the heat, rather than the heat then the flavour, and guessing what it is afterwards.
Oh, wow. And then why do you think Gambian or West African food isn't particularly well known in the UK, and even London specifically?
I think it's just down to people don't like to try what they don't know, you know. So everyone's just plays it safe with the same, you know, food. You know, when someone places an order on, you know, food delivery, they always play it safe, you know, just to keep everyone sweet and happy, you know, and it's very rare where you get people to try out new food, you know, but it's breaking through slowly,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like music, fashion, mm-hmm. that helps.
Yeah.
Someone like myself, you know, I'm trying to, you know, with a one-man band, trying to put, like, the food on the map, just letting people know, just try it.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what you think. It's the same ingredients that we use over here, but we just adapt it to our own way. So we need to get people thinking about the roots of the issues rather than the actual dish. You know, if someone asks me to make a shepherd's pie, for example, you know, which I can make very well,
yeah,
you know, I would jazz it up a bit.
Absolutely.
In terms of what someone in my culture or your culture and so on, will actually, you know, want from it. So yeah. We might get rid of the Worcestershire sauce and add something else to it.
We're big foodies,
yeah.
At Dishing Up, even the magazine at large. And I always think, you know, if I try a new food, like, this might be the food that's going to be my favourite.
Yeah.
I think that's why I think a lot of people need to sort of break out of their habits,
yeah.
and try new foods.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Think that's the only way. And are your kids big foodies as well?
Oh, you know what? I love them to bits, but they're getting better, but they're my worst customers.
They're your worst critics.
Yeah. It's a shame. Like, some of the stuff that they like,
yeah.
it's just basic.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, I don't want them to follow in my footsteps, you know. If they did, then they did. But, you know, when you're a chef, you have a proud moment, like, you thinking, wow, I can do this for you. And there's certain ingredients, like dishes, I would not order when I go out to eat. I would never order, like, prawns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tiger prawns when I go out to eat. Because you got to taste mine.
When you've had the best, why settle for anything else?
Yeah, I would prefer you to say that. Then all I'm saying is that, you know,
your spot's probably your mum's house, isn't it? When everyone comes around.
Well, it definitely used to be the spot, but you know, you outgrow those things, isn't
yeah.
it? Like, you know, as you get older, they don't show you that same, you know, Sunday dinner that they did 20 years ago, you know. So,
you need to do the Sunday dinners now.
You know, I don't mind, you know, but Sunday's my only day off, so
yeah, all right.
You know,
a bit relaxed. You don't want to cook on your day off.
I don't want to cook on my day off. I just have to make something basic for them and they're happy. But when they come to the restaurant, you know, like my son likes to order a steak.
Oh, nice palate, a good palate. Expensive palate.
Very expensive, you know. And whereas my daughter, I've got, I do it like a honey glazed salmon.
Oh, nice.
They both love the prawns, you know, my daughter especially. Like, it's her dish. Like, sometimes she messaged me and said, "Dad, I'm thinking about your prawns."
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a lot better than what we used to be like. I mean, I don't think any of us, like, touched fish.
Yeah.
I think like, prawns are, again, like prawn and salmon. They're really, like, you know, quite...
Yeah, they were very delicate when you were young. But, you know, with the prawns, I do the hard work for you, you know. You take off the shell and then devein it. So, you know, all you got to just worry about is just eating it. So,
well, if they're open to trying that sort of stuff, they obviously, when they grow up, they'll...
They're getting better.
They'll be eating the okra.
They're getting better, definitely.
So, Lawrence, now for this part of the podcast, we'd like you to imagine that you're preparing a dinner party menu full of your favourite Gambian dishes. So, what are you having for your starter, your main, dessert, and to drink?
Let's start with the drink first.
Yeah.
So, like, I make a lot of the cocktails on the menu at the moment. So, my go-to drink is rum. And we got this, I got this drink called Rum Jerry Jeff. So Jerry Jeff means thank you in Wolof.
Okay.
So that's our language in Gambia, Wolof. Yeah. And it means thank you, Jerry Jeff. So it's like saying rum, thank you.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so basically I make a, like a rum vanilla syrup. And it's just like fresh vanilla, rum, sugar, water, and more rum. Yeah, so we'll start off with that and topped off with ginger beer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's very refreshing and it's very addictive. I'll definitely do the tempura because I want people to know, like, you know, we call it kanja, you know, universally it's known as okra.
Yeah.
So I'll do the tempura kanja with homemade chili salt and lemon. The tiger prawns, grilled Papel's grilled tiger prawns.
Nice.
And, you know, I always recommend that. I have a friend of mine who... has a bakery in Dalston.
Oh, all right.
And he makes cocoa bread. I don't know if you...
No, I don't know what that is.
Cocoa, it's like a buttered sweet bread.
Oh, nice.
It's very Caribbean. It's,
yeah.
He makes, for me personally, he makes the best one. So with the prawns, you get all the sauce and stuff like that. So you just dip that into the cocoa bread. So three options. If you're a vegetarian, I'll do a lentil and sweet potato curry.
Oh, okay.
And then with coconut yogurt, so that would be the vegan option. And then with the fish option, I'll do the honey glazed salmon.
Yeah.
So the with Kenyan green beans. So green beans, the best green beans are actually from Kenya.
Oh, wow.
And when I was working at the Ivy, we used to call them French green beans, but they were never from France.
Yeah.
So whenever I got the box prepping, I said, made from Kenya. But on the actual menu, it was called French green beans.
I wonder if that's... My grandmother's from Kenya. She loves green beans. I wonder what that's the reason why. I've never actually asked her about that. I should ask her.
Oh, I'll ask her about that.
Yeah.
So I did a honey glazed salmon with Kenyan green beans. And then meat option, I would go with the chicken yassa or I do my own barbecue lamb cutlets.
Mm.
So again, I make my own barbecue sauce. You know, everything that I marinate, minimum 24 hours. There's been times where I've taken dishes off the menu because it wasn't marinated for 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Wow. And we ran out, you know, but I had to play hardball and stubborn to the guests. They were upset, but, you know,
want good food?
I want good food. Yeah. You know, you want it to the spec that I would want to deliver it to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the way it goes. And to finish off dessert, every dessert that I do like rum in it.
Oh, all right.
You know, so right now I've got a chocolate steamed pudding.
Yum.
With rum creme anglaise.
Wow.
So I do a creme anglaise, then add a dash, splash, a bottle of rum.
Just a tad.
Yeah, to make sure you can taste the rum, you know? Yeah. So anyway, so that will do that. And then for a vegan option, you know, normally I change every single dessert, you know, but for almost 2 years now, I've done this banana cake with
Yum.
cinnamon caramel.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, I'm hungry. Right. Oh, that sounds so good.
And this is like being the vegan dessert for like 2 years, but I can't take it off the menu.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, the banana cake. So that would be the vegan option.
You change a lot of your menu.
So I'll change it every quarterly. Yeah. So, you know, right now I've got the winter menu. So this menu is going to be out until the end of March, towards the end of March. Mm-hmm. Then we'll go on to the spring menu.
You're probably having fun with food as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Lawrence. So what's next for you? Have you got any fun projects coming up?
Just keep the restaurant going and getting, you know, the name out for the restaurant, the new menu. That's always exciting when it launches. I'm really excited, you know, for what I can bring to the table. I've seen a lot of, you know, good things happen amongst the whole culture in terms of food and stuff like that recently, you know, with different people getting like Michelin star awards and stuff like that, which is, you know, kudos to them. I'm really happy for them. And it's, you know, anything that's putting the food and the culture on the map is always positive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just not looking to settle in London. I'm looking for world domination.
that's great.
Yeah,
we'll be seeing Papa L's worldwide coming very soon.
Definitely,
hopefully. And then, where can people find you, Lawrence?
So I'm mainly on Instagram. So Papa L's Kitchen on Instagram. The restaurant is in 1617 German Street, just by Piccadilly Circus. And also, you can, you know, we open Wednesday to Saturday from 5 p.m. So just in the evenings, always available for like private hire, private bookings and so on and so on. And yeah, and you can go on my website, papelskitchen.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lawrence. We had so much fun learning about Gambian food. I am extremely hungry and I would love to try that banana cake. I will be coming.
When you're ready.
Thank you so much.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. We've been your hosts, Millie and Mariam.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Dishing Up.
Dishing Up is produced by Mariam Aziz, Millie Jackson and Hannah Rashbass, with technical support from Maria Martinez Ugarteche.
Special thanks to Biscuit Town for our fabulous jingle. Please join us again for another tasty episode on Dishing Up.
Until then, keep cooking.
And remember, who you are is what you eat.
Bye.